Sorry, Carrie. I know that you may hear this pretty much every night, but now you can hear it in the afternoon as well. Anyway, it is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, and welcome to the show on this Thursday. Good to be with you. And kind of a public service show, but also kind of an entertaining show. Well, that's kind of up to your calls, actually. I mean, I can only be so entertaining for so long. All right, so we're talking about, and for those of you north of the border, we're talking about have you hit a deer? And if you've hit a deer or more than one deer, where exactly did you hit the deer? And how badly was your car damaged? And I know people who hit a deer on a motorcycle, and I can't think of anything worse than that. Motorcycles have enough issues with which to deal between people not seeing them, people not looking twice to save a life, which is a lot better than loud pipes save lives because there's no scientific documentation that that's actually valid. But in any event, how many of you have hit a deer with a motorcycle and have lived to tell the tale? The people I knew, they basically had a little bit of road rash, and that's about it. And they easily could have gotten killed. And I've always wondered about that. It's one of the reasons why, as much as I would like to, I'll never be on a motorcycle. I just have, I don't know. I don't think I'd be a very good paraplegic, quite frankly. Not the way I would like to spend my remaining days. Thank you. But anyway, and if you are, I don't know how you do it. If you are, it's just, I don't think I could do it. So you're a lot stronger than I am. But anyway, have you hit a deer? Where did you hit the deer? Was there anything, looking back, you could have done to avoid it? And do you believe, and I'll throw a couple of wrinkles in here, do you believe that you've got a pretty good sixth sense for knowing where the deer are going to be and when they're going to do something stupid? Because so far, again, knock on wood, I do. However, the one that I told you about a couple of weeks ago, that was a total shock. Total shock. I was unaware that the deer had begun to cross Garrison Road near Garrison Park, and I could not, in less than a second, I saw it, I reacted, I steered, and I avoided the deer. And my passenger was very, very impressed. And also, close encounters with wildlife in Western New York. How many of you have actually seen a bear? I've never seen a bear. And if I do see a bear, I'm not going to freak out. I'm just going to say, oh, it's a bear. Maybe take a picture and go inside. I'm certainly not going to approach it. And I'm not going to, I mean, the bear is just doing bear stuff, you know, just doing bear stuff. And there was one unfortunate incident 20 years ago where a bear went into a residential neighborhood. People freaked out. The bear went up into a tree. Amherst cops had to come by and shoot it with a tranquilizer. And problem is, the bear fell and broke its neck and died. That's not the police's fault, but you know, basically, if people would have just stayed inside and kept their animals inside, the bear probably would have meandered down onto the reservation to buy some cigarettes. I don't know, bear smoke maybe. 803 Smokey Bear. I mean, he had to get the name somehow. 803-0930 star 930 1-800-616 WBEN. And how many of you have seen really cool wildlife out there? I've never seen a wild peacock. I've never seen one. I've seen peacocks at resorts in Mexico, where I will never go again. I've never seen a peacock in the wild, never seen a hedgehog, have never seen a porcupine, plenty of possum. Oh, I think possums are so adorable. They are so cute. I don't know what damage they do to your property, but I'm rather fond of possum. Not to eat. It's not what's for dinner. It's not the other white meat, but I think they're just so cute, and they're so stupid, and they're so blind. And skunk. Skunks are gentle. You leave skunks alone, they're not gonna come after you. You know, they're not gonna be aggressive or anything like that. But I mean, I don't know what they do with your chickens, but you know, I've got a skunk that comes through my yard pretty much like clockwork, about 2:15 every morning. He just like does skunk stuff, and I'm like, cool. That's got to be the relative of the one I told you about many years ago, where I thought, oh, it's a black cat in my yard. They got down on my knees. I call it. The thing starts walking slowly toward me, and I realize that is not a cat. That is a skunk. So I very quickly but calmly walked inside. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Where did you hit your deer, and have you had any cool, exciting experiences with wildlife? And I must admit that I do have a thing about wild turkeys, like that wild turkey on, was it Paradise Road many years ago that was pecking at cars as the cars went by, and they finally moved him somewhere where he couldn't be such a pecker. You're on WBEN. Hello. Mark in Buffalo, you are on. Hello.
Oh, yeah. Hello, hello. Didn't hear you.
I'm sorry
about
that.
I just wanted to tell you, I'm the same age as you. I've been listening to you for years. We're right around the same age. My incident happened when I was 7, and it was totally traumatizing. I was in the car with my dad. We hit a deer with a big old Chevy station wagon. The skin flew up all over the windshield. I cried and cried, and my dad went home to get a gun to put it out of its misery. Totally traumatizing day.
You're laughing about it now, but having a car covered with all sorts of blood and body matter, even from a deer, I don't think less of you as a man because that traumatized you. That would traumatize anybody. I mean, do you think legitimately? Seriously, do you think it gave you post-traumatic stress at all?
It's like, to this day, it's still a fear of mine hitting a deer. I watch very carefully.
You know what? I think what that means is you are normal. And anybody out there, you're as normal as I think you are. But if anybody's been in a certain kind of car accident, maybe you were T-boned. You might freak out going through intersections. Maybe you were rear-ended. It's not unusual if you've been in a rear-end accident to constantly, nervously be checking the rearview mirror to make sure it doesn't happen again, or to at least brace for impact. So I can't imagine how traumatic that must have been for you as a 7-year-old boy. Did your dad, was there enough of the deer remaining after your dad humanely put it out of its misery? And again, this was decades ago. God knows now he'd probably be charged with a hate crime and a gun felony.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
In this half-assed
thing. 3 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago. I don't remember. I just remember crying and crying.
How did your dad deal with that? Was your dad like old school, like, man up, son? Or was he like Mike Brady from the Brady Bunch?
Yeah, no, he wasn't that bad like that. He just did his thing, and it was like, he just did what he was going to do, and I just sat there.
Come on, you're 7 years old. You're a little boy. I mean, what are you going to do? Of course you're going to be upset. That's enough to trauma. It traumatized me. It would traumatize you again if it happened to you. Now, have you had any close encounters with any other kind of cool wildlife around Western New York?
Not really. Just some rats in the city. That's about it.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that. Very funny you mention that because we, for a while where I live, we were overrun with rats to the point where I stopped feeding the birds because I realized. Let's put it this way: when I left my house with a new bag of bird seed for the birds, the rat literally was waiting for me and walked around the corner of the fence and got up on his hind legs like, "Oh, it's food time." And I thought, I've got a great respect for rats. They're highly intelligent animals, but no, I'm not going to feed you. I'm not going to contribute to this problem.
That's it.
All right, sir. Thank you kindly.
All right,
I appreciate
thank you.
It.
Yep,
oh, by the way, where did your dad hit the... Oh, crap. Sorry about that. That was on me. I was going to ask exactly where this unfortunate turn of events happened. Have you hit a deer or more? Where did you hit the deer? Did you make out okay from the accident? Because I can think of a few stories from over the years where people have died, literally, in car-deer collisions. It doesn't happen, thank God, a lot, but it does happen, and it's very tragic. And there's a horrible story from, 5 years ago, where this yahoo saw some brown movement in the woods and took a shot and ended up killing the dog's owner. Remember that? That was like one of the most hideous stories I've ever heard in my life. What a bonehead, knucklehead, mental furball. Anyway, let's go to Jay in Alden on WBEN. You are on. Hello.
Hello, Tom. How are you today?
Yes, sir.
I'm okay. How are you?
Well, it's Thursday, and it's, you know, two and a half hours. Yeah, it's Thursday. How can you not be good on a Thursday? You're looking forward to seeing the Bills getting beat by the Dolphins Sunday or not?
Of course not.
Sorry.
They are not going to lose to the Dolphins.
Oh, they're going to get smeared. I think it's going to be a total choke job by the Bills. Total choke job.
Oh, no, I think it's going to go the other way. I think
Josh Allen is going to get hit for three interceptions. He's going to fumble. I mean, I don't have a lot of confidence. But anyway, I mean, hopefully they can use this and, you know, run a tape of it in the locker room and they will overcome all adversity. But anyway, the Dolphins have looked like a juggernaut. But anyway, forgetting the Dolphins for a moment, have you hit a deer, sir?
They look like a juggernaut against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and 70 points ain't bad. And if you will remember, they did beat the Bills last year in Miami in September, and the playoff game was a little more close. It was closer than a lot of people thought it would be against, what, the third-string Dolphins quarterback? It wasn't Tua?
Well, now, that I'll grant you, but that game in Miami last year was a sauna. And I was there.
Guys
that were cramping up, coming off, getting straight, going in, playing two plays, cramping up again. You know, you can't play that way.
No, I understand that, but the playoff game in Buffalo, which should have been Revenge City, you know, the Bills should have put up 70 points. They couldn't do it. They barely squeaked out a win against the Dolphins in the playoffs at home.
Avoiding the mercy rule, so that's all that was.
I think what we're going to do is, I think we're going to have to put some money up on this, but I don't think that's legal for the FCC, but anyway.
Hang on after I hang up, if you want.
No, I don't want to get in trouble. I'm not sure what the law is on that, so I'd rather err on the side of caution.
My right name, so what the heck? I'm not in trouble.
Oh, sir, everything you are saying right now is being monitored by NSA with their supercomputers. But anyway, what do you, what?
On Genesee Street in Clarence, which near Ransom Road, which is notorious. You see deer bodies all over the time, all the time there.
Yes.
And I was coming there. It was at night, and it's a 45 road. I normally do 50 or a little bit better, but it was at night, so I was doing 40. I know they're there. This guy appeared. I mean, appeared like somebody just threw it down right in front of the car. And I had, at that time, I was driving a Volvo 240. Those tanks.
You had a Volvo 240? I did too, the boxy ones.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're tanks.
Oh, they were, absolutely. And I don't know why Volvo stopped making the 240 DL. It was a great car.
I drove them for years. In fact, the damage I got on this one was enough that I had another 240 at the time. I just took the part off of that. It happened to be black also. I just took the parts off of that one, stuck it on mine, and I was good to go.
Well played.
And there was no personal injury, but I was astonished that I'm very careful. I know what deer do. I mean, right. If I see one across the road, I'm hitting the brakes because there's more coming behind it almost all the time.
When you see a bunch of deer on either side of the road feeding, you know that it's only a matter of time and statistical probabilities that one of them is going to say, oh, I'm going to run over to the other side. I bet the grass is greener on the other side of the road. Boom.
Yeah, and I'll follow them. They're nuts. But the other ones I was walking my dog, and it was on our property. We have lots of evergreens, and they're right down to the ground. And I was walking, and all of a sudden, he's pinning. Excuse me. He's pinning. He's a 110-pound shepherd. He's pinning something under the evergreen. And I'm walking up, and I realize it's a skunk. So I just grab him. Now, the skunk went ahead and sprayed, But because it was under the evergreen, it was spraying through the tree.
Right.
It was very minimum damage on the dog. But, you know, any skunk, I got tagged once myself.
Oy.
But
hey, these days, are you sure it was a skunk and not somebody smoking weed? Because there's a lot of skunky weed out there. I smell it several times a week.
Oh, jeez. We grow our own, so I can't tell you. We don't grow skunky stuff.
Well, leave your number off air, please. But anyway, it's going to be cheaper than any dispensary. But
I told you we should go off air.
All right, you're a funny guy. You're a funny guy. All right, your dog pinned a skunk, so that was a close encounter with wildlife. And you, I'm having cognitive issues here. You either have hit or did not hit a deer because of your incredible.
I hit it. I had to replace the front right front panel.
That's
on
right.
The.
That's right. On the Volvo. Yeah, on the black Volvo.
Right, and it had grill damage too, but I had another grill, so I just stuck that in there. It's just plastic, so, and it was easy to do. But
well, there's a show. I think, Jay, there's a show to be done on great cars they no longer make, like the Volvo 240,
yeah.
Like the old school Mercedes 300E 4Matics. And yeah. Now every single car looks like it was designed by the same engineers in the same wind tunnel, except, of course, the Kia that I'm driving now.
What was the most comfortable car you ever drove?
I'll tell you what, it was like a circa 1977 Oldsmobile Delta 88 Royale. That thing drove as smooth as a baby's bottom. Not that I'm in the habit of feeling baby's bottoms. That's sick.
I'm speaking metaphorically.
About
the seat itself?
The seat?
Yeah.
Oh, sir.
The Volvo 240 was just like an easy chair. Very, very comfortable.
Well, okay, and I know what you're talking about because I drove one, but I will tell you that there is not a car I've ever been in, not even a limousine, that had the boat-like comfort of a circa 1977 Oldsmobile Delta 88 Royale, and I wish they still made Oldsmobiles. I wish they still made those kinds of cars with character. You know, there was a Cadillac parked by DeVolio's on Main Street in Williamsville today, and I always keep my hands in my pocket because when I see a car like that, I always want to know, all right, what does the registration sticker say? It was a 2002 Cadillac, and it looked like it just rolled off the line. I was so blown away. It was great.
Not as comfortable as a 58, but what the heck?
that may be a source of a debate, but thank you kindly. I appreciate the call.
Oh, take it easy, Tom. Take care.
All right, and look out for those skunks. I wonder how many of you have been walking the dog and have come across a critter. I'll take calls on that too. And 110-pound shepherd. Shepherds, great dogs. I love pitties. Pit bulls. I'm sorry. They're one of my favorite dog breeds ever. Rottweilers, great guard dogs, great with kids and their family. But if you're not family and you get near the Rottweiler and the Rottweiler doesn't know you, look out. Same thing with the shepherd. Although the German shepherds that you've known, haven't you found them to be friendly once they realize you're not a threat and you're being welcomed by the owners? Never had a problem with a German Shepherd. On the other hand, Cavachons, probably the world's worst watchdog, because if a burglar comes into your house, the Cavachon is going to wag its tail endlessly, think, ooh, somebody new to play with. Yay, a human. Yes, I get to play. Sorry, that was my little dog impersonation. It is, would you like to take me for a walk later on? Okay. Oh, okay, name the artist. Come on, crank it, Tanner. If you don't know who the artist is on this song, you're going to die when I tell you. I mean, not literally. I prefer not to have any manslaughter on this show, involuntary or otherwise. Bob Dylan from Blood on the Tracks. And it's probably not very good news for Bob Dylan that I've started listening to a lot of Dylan stuff through about 1980 again. You know what happens when I mention people who have not typically been in the news for a while, and I hope it doesn't happen because, honestly, it's really giving me a complex. Like, if you listen to this show for enough years, you know it's uncanny. I'll talk about somebody that you haven't thought about in years. Within 2 days, they're dead. And it's just, I can't keep up with it anymore. It's just, I think the number's somewhere around 20. And I realize it's some kind of weird coincidence, but then again, are there really coincidences or just the appearance of coincidences? I should also say that I was thinking of Eltimio Sanchez last week before he died. So I'm kind of proud of that one, not going to lie. Okay, 338 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Rotten hell, Eltimio Sanchez. Here's Sandy in Hamburg on WBEN talking about, have you hit a deer? Have you had close encounters with wildlife? And those of you in northern Ontario, there's a whole world between Toronto and the Arctic Circle, right? How many of you have seen a moose? My daughter saw a moose at hockey camp in Sundridge, Ontario, many summers ago. So if she saw one moose then, there've got to be a whole fleet of meese now. I just make up my own pronouns and plurals as I go along. Don't mind me. You're on WBEN, Sandy. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Tom. I'm glad you said that about Eltimio Sanchez, because I was thinking about that, too, and he passed away. And I was working at the University of Buffalo when that happened, so it was very sad. And I loved that bike path. And after that happened, it takes all the joy out of running that bike path because you are looking around every corner, you know?
Now, I only hope that Eltimio Sanchez is being tormented and tortured by all the demons and legions of hell.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. So it was funny. I turned on WBEN. I'm at the car rental place picking up a car because I took out a buck on Monday, and I was more sad about hitting the deer than my vehicle, but he jetted out. And I always took pride. It was on McKinley Parkway. Just coming off of Abbott, heading on McKinley, going south into Hamburg. And I take pride on, you know, I was thinking like, oh, I'll be able to see him. Mm-hmm. And he jetted out. I mean, he came so fast and I hit him perfectly. And the police officer said, because I drove home, then I called the police. He goes, did you put on the brakes? I go, yeah, pretty sure I didn't. Like, I probably took my foot off the pedal. And I said, I didn't look in my rearview mirror. I didn't look in my side mirror because I knew it was going to be ugly. I drove home. I called you. He went to the scene. He said, I had to put it down. I said, can you tell me if it was a little girl or a little boy? He says it was a young male, a 4-point buck. And it was just sad. But I was thinking they should make vehicles, you know, I mean, I know technology, right? Then we'd be getting carried away. But, you know, too bad we couldn't make something, you know, like that has like a type of, you know, like the deer horn, something that whistles, you know, but I don't know, you know.
Well, as I recall, and it's funny you mention that because a very dear friend of mine was talking about her deer shield. And I'm thinking to myself, deer shield? I've got to look into getting one of those. And then she explained, oh, no, it's not an actual device. It's actually just I put up like a little prayer wall between me and deer. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And, you know, kind of rolling my eyes. But I would have to think that you're onto something. There have got to be, and look, this is just out of my rear end. I'm thinking out of my rear end, which I often do, according to people on the left and on the right. But there's got to be a sound, because deer have great hearing. I mean, you know, you snap your fingers inside the house, if a deer is in your front lawn, they're going to look at the window. So there's got to be something that could be installed in cars other than the ineffective deer whistles that people have been using for years that would actually result in a diminution of the number of car deer accidents. But the important thing is you, as a human being, did not get hurt.
No. No, not at all. I mean, I was probably going 45 miles an hour, I'll be honest with you. And when I hit him, it was like a hit in football. I took him out. I mean, it was a perfect contact, front of the car, well, left front, you know, so his whole shoulder midsection hit the midsection of the car to the left bumper. I mean, I hit him. I'm not proud to say how good I hit him, but I hit him good. And that's why I didn't look back.
Okay, the amazing part of this whole story is you hit the deer with a perfect center shot, okay, dead center in the X on the target, and it was still alive after being hit at 45 miles an hour. How much damage did you do to your car? What was the estimate?
It's, you know what, Travelers, well, everything runs slow in the world now, right? So Travelers hasn't gotten back to me on estimate, and my car's still sitting in the driveway, and I literally just picked up a rental car. I was crying, hoping I was crawling out through the passenger way, but then I just took a screwdriver and said, the hell with it, a flathead screwdriver, and bent the door just so I could open it, you know, because I'm 57, you know, crawling in and out of the passenger side is a little weird, but yeah.
On the other hand, it does show your cat-like agility. I mean, not going to lie, that's kind of hot.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. But, you know, the good thing and the one thing I was actually impressed with, and I won't name my vehicle, I was actually impressed. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give this vehicle a 4.5 out of 5 for taking a good shot.
Well, I would like to know the vehicle. I will let you name the vehicle that did so well in this head-on collision at 45 miles an hour with a deer. What were you driving?
All right. I was driving a 2020 Ford Edge, and I was absolutely impressed. I'm like, damn.
Oh, the Ford Edge is a fine vehicle. Absolutely a fine vehicle. And I'm glad that it helped. I'm not sure what kind of a safety rating it gets according to the National Transportation Safety Board or whoever rates these things. But I know quite a few people with Ford Edges, and they love them.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that you are safe and sound. And, you know, as far as the cop having to take out the deer, they have to do this all the time. Tim Wenger, I mean, everybody knows he lives out in Orchard Park. He heard gunshots one day on the drive into work and, looked, you know, basically went by an Orchard Park cop who kind of looked at him sheepishly because, well, then he realized that, he was putting down the deer. And about a year ago, a friend of mine called and said, I just heard gunshots on North Forest Road in Amherst. I'm like, okay. So I called some people I know over there and said, so did you guys have a shooting, a domestic or something? Nah, we had a couple of deer we had to put down. Okay, roger that. Thank you. But yeah, it's, I mean, nobody likes to do it, but it look, it's the humane thing to do. I mean, that's what you got to do.
Absolutely. And I felt horrible about doing it. It's the only deer I've ever killed, and I hit a German Shepherd years ago when I was 18. And, you know, you're mortified because you're like, son of a, you know.
You know what?
It didn't happen.
My love, I have one dog to my discredit, and all I will tell you is it was a snowy night. I was going 15 to 20 miles an hour. One dog went in front of my car, and I thought, wow, that's one lucky dog. And then the other dog went right under the wheel. And I was very upset with that. And then as upset as I was with hitting the dog, I was as upset with the people who let their dogs out to run wild. Like, do you not love your animal? I mean, I would never, I mean, seriously, how do you deal with your kids? You let them run around at 2 in the morning? Thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Talking about the deer you've hit, where you hit them. And you know what? If you've noticed so far, there's no pattern. If we were putting pins in a map, they're all over the place in Western New York. I thought we'd be getting a ton of calls from Klein Road in Amherst, Millersport in Amherst, Garrison, Evans in Amherst. You know, these are the areas that I know the best, I guess. Main Street in Clarence, Roll Road, ton of deer out that way. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Back to the calls we go, and it is Alex in Newfane. All right, Newfane checking in. How many deer have you taken out, sir?
I lost track at a dozen.
That you've hit with your car?
My last pickup truck had 6 of them. Now,
okay.
I've been 15 years. And I've hit them. I hit a buffalo in eastern Washington State one time. Now, it was already dead. The truck in front of me hit it and killed it, but I hit what was left of it.
You mean a bison?
Yeah.
An American bison. Okay.
Yes.
That's why, like, the term buffalo bisons always seemed redundant to me, but I won't even go there.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, let's just talk about this. You have hit a dozen deer, and I'm going to say, okay, well, you lost track at a dozen, but I'm going to play Avocatus Diaboli here, okay, the devil's advocate here. The common the common denominator with all of these dead deer is on the other end of the phone talking on the radio. When you look back on all of the situations, do you believe that it was that any of these collisions were at least partially your fault, or was it absolutely unavoidable every time?
I can't think of any of them that were avoidable. You, 9 times out of 10, it's not the first deer that comes out that you get. It's the ones following that you don't look for. Now, the best one of all, my wife did. See, I have well over 1 million miles under my butt. Well over. So the odds, you know what I'm saying.
They understood, yes. Up. Yes.
And it would be about a third of the way down the Indiana-Ohio border. There's Route 66 and Route 6 run together. They run concurrent for about 10 miles. Now, I'm an electrician by trade, but my side gig was hauling campers all over the country with dually pickup trucks. I started when Katrina happened, and it was fun. I got to go all over the place, get paid to go there. Well, I was sleeping in the back of the truck, and my wife was driving. She was a retired school bus driver, so she's a better driver than me.
So you both have CDLs, and you're an electrician. That's cool.
Yes. But I got rudely woken up bouncing off the front seats.
Oh.
I got up, put my glasses on, and I saw nothing. My wife is just absolutely freaking out. The windshield is smashed in. The driver's side window is gone. The driver's side door is caved in. And to the day I sold the truck, it had hoof prints in the back door from it wrapping around. I tried to jump over the truck.
Mom, can I borrow your knife? Yeah, we hit a deer.
Oh, so, God.
The hoof. What do we hit? The hoof? Yeah, the hoof. The hoof. Yeah. It's a sin, Mom.
The point is when I got up, I didn't see the deer. It got up and ran away that quick.
Oh, come on. So Alex stopped counting at 12 deer, and his wife and he are both CDL, commercial driver license holders. Alex, by the way, is also an electrician, which shows that the vocations are excellent sources of income and a career, I would add. It also means you don't get to drink all that much. Sorry about that. Alex is going to volunteer this weekend to be your designated driver. So you were sleeping. Your wife hit.
Are you there?
Yeah, your wife hit what now?
She hit a deer at the where about a third of the way down from the north Ohio and Indiana border. This is where I didn't quite get to finish. Route 66 and 6 run together. 2 weeks prior to this, my wife likes taking pictures as we're driving. We all, like I said, I've hauled campers all over the country as a side gig for, well, since Katrina. I just sold my last, actually gave my last truck to my son about a year ago. When I gave him that truck, it had 345,000 miles on it. It had been in every state in the country except for Alaska and Hawaii. And it had one moving violation on it. So that answers your question about whether it was a deer's fault or mine.
No, you have proven yourself either very adept at talking your way out of tickets or a great driver.
But, yeah, it's just amazing. My wife took a picture of the signs because it says Route 6 and Route 66 right next to each other. So you got 666. You know where I'm going with this.
Oh, it was a satanic deer. I hope you got it with a silver
tell
bumper.
Me about it. Well, she took a picture. And she likes to post things on Facebook with different states we were in. And the problem was that she got the picture in the passenger side rearview mirror. So you've seen 666 and then a reflection of 666 and to eternity. The picture was.
Dude, that's
freaky. And I told her, you get rid of that picture. And it was not 2 to 3 weeks later. We ran this same route a lot. I mean, it's not a coincidence that I was there again. I ran it all the time between Indiana and Buffalo. But it was in that 10-mile area where that deer jumped out in front of her. And like I said, I never saw this deer, and his horns went through the windshield.
Oh, my good. Thanks. See, you could have been impaled. Each of you could have
been
impaled.
Killed.
You absolutely could have been killed.
If it hadn't been for the corner post of the truck, she probably would have been.
Oh, good heavens.
I mean, this is a 2006 Dodge Dually diesel four-door, four-wheel drive, 8-foot by big truck.
Yeah, that's no little vehicle, sir. If you'd have been driving like a subcompact, a slightly distressed, I can't even begin to imagine. That must have been a horrible experience. But I think what I'm going to come away with from your call, what's going to be on my mind all day, is you being the second car to hit an American bison after the truck got the first shot in. I don't know why I'm laughing about that, except I'm thinking of did. You ever see Kevin Costner, Wyatt Earp?
Yes.
talking about all we're going to do is go out and shoot a bunch of dumb animals, and you just had one with your vehicle. Alex, I'm grateful.
It was not fun.
I'm grateful for the call. Do you have Netflix, by the way?
Yes.
Okay. Since demonic possession has entered the conversation, I have a movie I want to recommend with Russell Crowe. I talked about it before. It's called The Pope's Exorcist.
It's a very good movie.
Wasn't Russell Crowe amazing in that movie?
What amazed me is how they can transform how their physical body to fit the roles they're playing.
No, Russell Crowe got fat.
I'm being polite.
I mean, I'm just saying there's a big difference between Are You Not Entertained? And The Pope's Exorcist. But, hey, look what happened to Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer ballooned up, then he got horribly sick. I mean, you know, these Hollywood people are just like the rest of us. And, you know, it amazes me. I mean, people just have to struggle with weight all the time. I mean, Billy Bob Thornton, he's a vegetarian. He's very thin. Paul McCartney's a vegetarian. He's very thin. Ringo Starr is very thin. I don't know what he eats, but thank you very much. I appreciate the call, sir. This is really turning into a great show. And I hope so. But I'm going to continue this topic into the 4 o'clock hour if you don't have any objections to that on WBEN. But if you do have Netflix, The Pope's Exorcist, it just happened to come on and it sucked me right in from the beginning. It was one of those movies where I can't turn this off. It was like the first time watching The Day of the Jackal, Fred Zinnemann, 1973 with Edward Fox. I put it on late at night. And that was a mistake because it was 2:33 in the morning before I went to sleep, and that's when I was doing morning drive. I had to get up at 5. So, actually, I got up at 4. Well, all right, maybe I got up at 5 to 5 and did some of the show on the phone on the way in. That happened from time to time. 3:58 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly. So nice to have you with us, my loves. And two more hours coming up for me before Tom Puckett makes me look very bad with Buffalo's Evening News from 6 until 7.